help us to commence with hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie, humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look in diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The Lord teach us from his own holy precious word the way and of the truth and of the life, and help us in prayer. O thou who art in the heavens, thou who inhabitest eternity, thou the holy, the true, the living God, thou who canst not look upon sin with any approval, but must deal justly, thou, O Lord, who hast condemned worlds and nations to a lost estate, O thou, therefore, that doest as thou dost please, and thou who dost not have respect of persons, yet, Lord, as we come, realizing this, yet we also read in thy word that thou art a God of mercy, a God who condescends to us in our lowest state. And we are poor fallen creatures. We are sunk very low. There is no soundness within us. We have come short of the glory of God. What can we say? Must we not be dumb before thee? And as the psalmist said, I was dumb because thou didst it. O Lord, then we would put our mouths in the dust. We would own that there is nothing that we can ever boast of, no good that we can bring forth, nothing to merit any favour, let alone to obtain a place near the throne or in heaven. But, O Lord, it is purely thy sovereign goodness, thy infinite mercy, according to thy covenant purposes, having chosen a people in thine own dear, blessed Son, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh and yet knew no sin. No guile was found in his mouth, yet thou didst send thine own dear Son to bear the punishment which we deserve, to take the sins that were laid upon him and make a blessed atonement through the shedding of that precious blood which alone can wash and cleanse the whole body, the church, each particular member, down to the smallest member of the body. And Lord, sometimes it may be said, even by such as the apostle, who's felt to be the least, and yet, Lord, as the least, he was a favour to know the greatness of blessing, even to those revelations that he had, being taken up into the third heaven, to hear those things of which it was not lawful for a man to utter. But Lord, that it give him a thorn in the flesh, cause a messenger from Satan to buffet him, which brought him low and made him to then seek thee for deliverance. But thou, Lord, didst say, thou wouldst not deliver him, but give him the grace. Oh, that grace, all sufficient. Lord, we feel in ourselves that we have no grace at all. We are wholly dependent upon thee to graciously bestow even one drop of favour. But could it please thee, Lord, to look down upon us, to pity us in our poor, wretched condition, to show mercy in our particular situations as we may be found, whether in affliction, whether in trouble, whether pressed out of measure, whether we are confronted with many enemies and know not what to do, oppressed and persecuted, though perhaps not in the outward way, as some may know, when tortured and imprisoned. But Lord, it is often when we are not regarded, those may turn their back upon us, may frown, may seek to make us uncomfortable in every situation, that then we know something of that persecution. But Lord, it is thy mercy that thou in coming didst know what it was to have those that sat in the seat of scorners to point the finger and to say all manner of evil against thee falsely. We are exhorted to rejoice when these things are so, and to rejoice in those infirmities. O Lord, the flesh dislikes the way. Oh, can we stand against such opposition? We often cow, as it were, under it. We seek a way to escape. But may we, like the apostle, know that all-sufficient grace. We do, Lord, desire that thou wilt graciously look upon us as we are now gathered together. Grant, if it could please thee, the gracious help of thy Holy Spirit. For if we have not the Spirit, though indight within us a true spirit of worship, what then is our gathering together? Lord, we dread formality, though we often fear, lest we should be found but in the letter of these things and not in the spirit of them. But Lord, thou alone canst so move our souls. Thou canst stir up our hearts and our affections unto thee, that we might adore thee and fall at thy footstool, and acknowledge that whatever thou dost lay upon us, thou hast a perfect right. That right to govern me and mine. O Lord, we need much grace to acknowledge these things. But through grant that grace of submission, and grant, Lord, that we may know that no chastening, though a grievous at present, yet it may bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. No chastening at the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. But, oh, that we may know that thou dost bring forth into a wealthy place, that we may be the better for these things, that we might know the recompense of that reward, to have a good conscience toward thee, void of offence, because, Lord, thou hast sanctified, thou hast consumed in the furnace of our troubles and afflictions the dross, and that, Lord, which is but wood, hay, stubble. Grant, Lord, that we might be made vessels unto honour, made meet for the Master's use. Do, Lord, therefore constrain us in the way that we must go. Gently lead, if it could please thee, to allay the many fears. Grant a sweet confidence, a holy boldness, a venturing into the holiest by that true and living way, through Christ the rent veil, that is to say, his flesh. Oh, that we might prove that in and through him we may be strengthened and helped in the thing that may be too great for us, but nothing is too great for thee. Do then, Lord, so exercise thine exercised people in these matters, that they might know that it is in weakness they are made strong, and when they are brought to fear the worst, that thou dost grant them the very best. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon the young, the rising race. There are those not here, they are but babes, or a little children growing up into years, the parents that are also not able to gather because of their parental responsibilities. Grant that wisdom to the parents in the bringing up of their children in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. May the children heed the words of the parents that speak graciously to them. May it be, Lord, that they are brought to see the wisdom. Often in our youth we think we know best, But Lord, thou must break it and make us see that we have no experience nor understanding of many things. But thou, Lord, art gracious if thou dost teach, and put that fear in their hearts, bring them to tremble at thy word, and to make them as obedient children. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be gracious then to fathers, that they may not be angry and let the wrath go down, and let the sun go down upon their wrath. But, Lord, may it ever be a solemn reminder that we ourselves were such, except there be the right punishment administered for our good, for our profit. We know this, as we have read, that thou didst chasten for our profit, and it is therefore our mercy that there is not any unneedful unneedful punishment or trial brought upon us, but all must be for our good. Thou dost not afflict willingly, nor try the children of men, neither wilt thou suffer them to be tempted above what they are able, but will with every temptation make a way to escape. Lord, we are thankful for thy gracious dealings and the gracious pattern that is there given. Lord, we pray that there will be mindful of those in increasing age, in infirmities, some in sickness, laid aside, some that have been in hospital and been raised up almost as from a state of what might have been feared, their last. Lord, thou hast been very gracious and merciful. We do, Lord, desire to bear before thee, O thy servants, those particularly in affliction, that thou wilt be with them and help them. We would remember, O Lord, those away at this time. Be with them where they are. May the rest, the change, be of much benefit, not only bodily or mentally, but also spiritually. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bring again in peace and safety. We would remember, O Lord, thine afflicted people abroad the earth, those in the far parts of the earth. Thou knowest, Lord, where thy people are found. We would remember them, not knowing what may be the suffering that we have to suffer, knowing that the days are very dark. The enemy seems to be gaining strength. There are many things, Lord, are taking place, and we cannot tell what may be the actual outcome. But as things begin, they seem to lose nothing but gain with momentum. And Lord, if there has been that beginning of undermining and of seeking to destroy the foundations, then will they, the enemy, not go on and pursue in every avenue those things so as to seek to destroy thy name from the earth? But Lord, we are thankful that it never can be. Thy remnant shall remain to the end of time. And thou, Lord, canst deal with those, our enemies, as thou seest best. Lord, we know that thou wilt ever rise for thy poor, thine afflicted people, that they shall be delivered. Deliver us, we pray, from the evil man, and from those that would seek to cast thee down from thine excellency. Now, Lord, hear us, we pray. Do make up in giving where we fail in asking. Accept us, Lord, in and through that worthy name of thy dear blessed Son. Oh, may we be found in him, and may our prayers come up as incense, the fragrance of his incense, his prayers, his name, to perfume our utterances, which at best must be poor in themselves. But Lord, if they are perfumed by those words of thine, when thou wilt say, Father, I will, then shall we not find access and prove answers to be received, that the blessings might be known. So hear us now, we ask these things, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
the Lord may be pleased to help me. I will direct your attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and read in verses 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and verses 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Are you ready to cast away your confidence, your trust, your hope? On what account are you so ready to do so? Have you been brought to the place where you fear that God has forsaken you, forgotten you, cast you off? Come like the psalmist who said, "Why standest thou afar off?" How then could he have any comfort and consolation whilst he was in this particular place? Asking the question, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? And so, as we've already said, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? The frown of God. When we have been perhaps left to waywardness, turning aside, backsliding, then we may fear that he has cast us off altogether. But it is a sense often of our sin, felt within our own hearts. We may not have done any outward, obvious outward wickedness. By that I mean that men may call it so. But you feel within your own heart how you have neglected. Have you felt to have neglected the garden of your soul? As the spouse spoke when she needed the Lord to come graciously to her and to revive that work within her. She spoke of the other vineyards that she had kept, but oh, the forsaking of her own. And that is sometimes how we are brought to feel, that we have been perhaps mindful of others. But how stands the case, my soul, with thee? In heaven are my credentials clear, and you are brought to fear and tremble lest it should be otherwise than well with you. And under such a sense, it seems as though your confidence is shaken. What you had hoped and what you had thought would indeed secure you, now the Lord has shaken. Yes, put you or permitted you to be put into Satan's sieve, so that it may be known what is really in your heart, and feeling feelingly lacking or wanton were wanting, you can only then say there is no hope. You're not alone. Jeremiah said, my hope is perished from the Lord. Had Jeremiah come to this point to cast away his confidence? We may consider Job, who thought that the Lord had become his enemy, and that his anger was such that he would thus be cast away. But though he slay me, says Job, when faith lays hold of the glimmer of mercy, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, because it is only in him that can give any deliverance. Only he can bring the blessing again, and the reviving in the heart, and the sweet boldness to come to the throne of grace, and a trust in when, as one has put it, to trust him when we do not see him. We may not see. We have to learn what it means that we walk by faith and not by sight. It is well when we can walk and see what we think is good, but we have to walk often knowing that what is good is in heaven. What is good is that which may be hid from us for a season, that those things may then be showered down upon us by way of blessing that we perhaps have never realized before or never known. But with a prospect before us, then cast not away therefore your confidence. We may be certain that this was written in the scripture by the pen of the apostle, because this would be the propensity of the tried, troubled child of God, being brought feelingly to nothing, to cast away his confidence. But as we find other scriptures of a like nature, such as fear not, would it be there written if we were not subject to fears? If those fears may not come in like a flood and almost bring us down to nothing? But the gracious word that the Lord speaks may then strengthen us in the face of all those things that seem to rise up, militate against us, and cast us down. We know that Satan would delight to cast his people down, to remove from them their confidence. Oh, do you not think that he goes about seeking every means whereby he can do it? Well, what are the means that he may use? Often when affliction comes, then we are not only low in our bodies, but low in our minds, and ready to cast away our confidence. But we must know what it is to be nothing, that he may raise us up. Well, whence is there resurrection? Well, it is from death. The sense of death, or under the sentence of death, to then be brought to know the one through whom we have deliverance. And if there is, therefore, that spoken, there is one who is substitute, a one who is an advocate, one who can plead your cause. Well, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Again, you may be brought into this situation, as doubtless these Hebrews were. Remember that the Hebrew church may well suffer from the hands of those Pharisees and the religious people of the day, the scribes, the lawyers, and even the Jewish people, because they considered that they must continue with the sacrifices. There must be circumcision. There must be the keeping of the law. The denying, therefore, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now they were made bold in declaring that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the one condemned and taken to Calvary and there crucified. To believe in this one and in the glorious words that rang in the ears of those disciples, perhaps one by one, or two and or three together, he is risen. Oh, the knowledge of his resurrection of those that walked the Emmaus road. They were downcast, ready to cast away their confidence. We trusted that this had been he who would have saved Israel. But here, as far as they knew, he had been taken and slain. Oh, but some said, women came to say that he is risen. But their eyes were holden. They did not perceive that this stranger was the one, though, beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he testified concerning himself. Until the end of the journey, when they constrained him to come in, and he was known in the breaking of bread. Oh, doubtless it was a sight that was realized when they had perhaps witnessed that supper before he was taken to death, and now again in the breaking of bread. They quickly returned. They could testify, he is risen. And when they arrived with those that were in that upper room, and they're keeping the door shut, yet they could say, he is risen and has appeared unto Peter. Peter, who had been at the point of casting away his confidence, indeed casting all into the hands of the devil, so to speak, when he denied his Lord. Shall he not be counted as a reprobate? But Peter, the Lord looked upon thee. Peter, here you are shown that true repentance. You wept those tears of sorrow, and now he has appeared unto you. Cast not away therefore your confidence. But the point that I wanted to mention was this. You see, these Judaizers, as they came to be known, they were to bring again the people under the under the influence of the Lord, and all that it meant. They have been delivered from under it through the grace of him who had fulfilled all righteousness and had borne their sin and their iniquity. The Lord condemned them when they failed to fulfill that which they should do. And all have come short of that. We prove it again and again, day by day. We have no power the snare to shun. We ever into ruin run. That is how it is with us by nature. It is, though, to prove that God is greater than our heart. He who knows all things, he remembereth our frame, he knoweth that we are but dust. Therefore he has made a provision, a very blessed provision. No greater provision could be made. He gave his only begotten Son, that he should take flesh and dwell amongst us, to minister unto the poor and the needy, those ready to cast away their confidence. Do you not think that the man there at the pool of Bethesda, having lain there for 38 years, was ready to cast away his confidence? Every time the waters were stirred, no hope for him, none to help him down, no pity. But now, what shall be said to him? Cast not away therefore your confidence. Here is one who is the fullness of all such mercy. Here you are in the archways of the house of mercy, and here is the God of mercy. Well, no doubt, that dear man, under the sound of that word, it was a word that came with sweet power, and gave him blessed ability. Now only the power of the word of the gospel will put that strength into us and enable us to rise. But the gospel word is sure to those to whom it is sent. And why not for you, poor sinner? Vile as you may feel, downcast as you are, under the sentence of condemnation, fearing that there is no hope, though here you come again and again to Sinai. But what shall we find there? Nothing but fire and darkness, as the apostle said in the chapter we read, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. Oh, that was the voice of words. But the voice of the gospel, it's not in word only. It's in power. It's in demonstration of the Spirit. It can move your heart. It can soften your heart, break the hard heart, the heart of stone. It can also drive away the awful fear which you may have had there at Sinai's Mount, where you have to say, mine's a hopeless, helpless case. And such it would be, but for grace. But cast not away therefore your confidence, that we are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. We are come unto him who is King in Zion. He orders all things, has all things in his hands. The government is upon his shoulders. He will work, and who shall let it? Now you may perhaps say, but I have waited long. There seems to be no evidence, no movement, and no coming. And I have no strength to go. But cast not away therefore your confidence. For as with the man who had no strength at the gate beautiful, yet under the word of the apostles, Peter saying, gold and silver have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise. And he arose and stood, and went into the temple leaping. Oh, what power. It's the same power that we need to work in our hearts, that we might have our spiritual feet to run like those of the hind's feet. Then you will leap like the hart. Then it may be said, you will be as the roe. And what indeed did the roe desire and want? We find that the psalmist says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. You know, I understand that the hart was often brought to this panting condition when they had been in conflict with these serpents, and they had escaped from the pair of it by their fleetness and escape. They thirsted now for the water brook. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Ah, David, cast not away therefore your confidence. Ye sons of Korah, cast not away therefore your confidence. Let a gracious Asaph, cast not away therefore your confidence, though your feet well nigh slip, though you were ready, as it were, to be envious of the wicked. But now enter into the house, and now see their end. Now consider yourself as a beast before God, but brought now to say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Well, dear friend, cast not away therefore your confidence. There is a confidence to be had in him who came and sought to raise up the poor and the needy, to rise for on their behalf, to bring them to know that there is a means whereby they may be saved. And it is through him who has for us entered. It is he who has gone before. And when he went before, he would enter into the holiest itself, by a new and living way, and that was through the rent veil, that is to say, Christ's flesh. And when we speak of Christ's flesh, let us understand it as the one who is the high priest himself, who must enter through his own merits, The merit of Aaron never made an atonement. And if the blood of a beast, innocent beast, should be taken and sprinkled, yet it could only set before the people what God had purposed in that provision which was yet to be known. But Christ, the Lamb of God, he could enter in by his own merits and shed that precious blood. Oh, none other could shed the blood as he shed it. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. When he therefore taking flesh, taking our nature into union with his divine person, that he in the person of the Son of God may lay down his life and take it again. And the two cannot be separated. When he laid it down, the certainty was that he would take it again. The death could not hold him, the grave could not hold him, because he knew no sin, though he was made to be sin. But he was also to be the righteousness of his people, that they may have a righteousness which is not their own, a righteousness imputed, that they may be clothed upon with such a righteousness to cover their nakedness, washed blessedly by that same precious blood which may speak in heaven for them. And there is for us entered, come boldly to the throne of grace. O ye who may be ready to cast away your confidence, come ye to that throne of grace, put forth the petition, ask of him, shall he deny you, shall he turn you away? Well now, what does it say? It says in this very chapter, for this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the Son of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I want to pause there. What is the full assurance of faith? Well, some would say that the assurance is when you are so certain about things you never have any doubts. It is the full assurance of faith. Not the full assurance of sight. Not the confidence of the flesh. Here we find that a gracious confidence of the Spirit is given to believe that whatever we are, yet what we are in him will give us a prevailing plea. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You may be in the darkest place. You may be at your lowest ebb, but let the prayer indicted by the Holy Spirit, a groaning which cannot be uttered, ascend up into the ear of the Lord God of Sabaoth, and he regards it as the prayer of faith, uttered with assurance, for we are by our very action or by our very condition, pouring out our heart before him, that there is that which would believe. This is our only hope, to cry unto him for mercy. And as the publican who beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, perhaps in himself saying, and can there be mercy, depths of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Yes. And he had the full assurance of faith to believe it, to lay hold upon it. He went down to his house justified. But cast not away therefore your confidence, for it hath great recompense of reward. Now let me come to this recompense of reward. What is the recompense of the reward for this confidence? It is a God-given confidence. And you know, though we may be ready to cast away our confidence, we never can. As we have tried to set before you in your lowest place, yet you must cast an eye upward. You must pour out your groanings. You have to cry unto him. You come like Peter and said, when the question was put, will he also go away? What, and cast his confidence away altogether? Lord, to whom else can we go? That's the words of eternal life. For now, this is therefore something that it is a given. It is the gift of God, this confidence. And because it is so, it has great recompense of reward. Because it is so, there will be the blessings that are given. Will the Lord not bless his covenant people, those to whom he has made promise? Doubtless Abraham, having received the promise, the old nature may have said, well, there you are, you will have all these things in a few days or a few months, or at most in a few years. About how many years was it that Abraham had to wait before Sarah was with child and then subsequently gave birth to Isaac? You see, dear friends, that's the trial of faith. There is the shaking of all confidence that you may not trust in yourself. And I was struck by the words of the apostle, perhaps in a slightly different context. But he says this: see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, but escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And therefore, cast not away therefore your confidence, despite the shaking, Oh, the earthquakes may come, the storms may rise. But what did Elijah find there at Horeb? God was not in those things. We do not mean that God did not bring such things along. In one sense, he was in the earthquake. He was in the tempest. He was in the wind. But what Elijah was to experience was this: the power of the small, still voice. Now for Elijah it was, "What doest thou here, Elijah? There is a work still for thee to be done. You may have run away from wickedness, but now I will send you to anoint those who will overcome the powers of wickedness. Whatever the means may be, but so the Lord would use whom he would to bring down a vile and wicked Ahab and to destroy a wretched Jezebel. Yet, what is the small, still voice that might be spoken in your soul this night? Cast not away therefore your confidence, for it hath great recompense and reward. Be assured of this, that in all the conflicts that you have in your soul, and all the opposition that you may experience, and all the troubles and trials that come, yet be certain of this: ye shall be more than conquerors through him that hath loved us. More than conquerors, because, as it is written, that he has overcome. We read in that 15th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption this mortal immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." I've read those words quite quickly because I want to emphasize that what follows applies now as it will then. But then, when we have come through all the days of our sorrow, walked there through this wilderness, with now the heavenly prospect before us, these words will be a certainty then. And shall we cast away our confidence then? Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It hath great recompense and reward. Cast not away therefore your confidence, for it hath great recompense and reward. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that is, the work of faith, by faith, the work that may be as running in that race. Why was not this, with all these line of witnesses who by faith had subdued kingdoms, had wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, and turn to flight the armies of the enemies? What can then be said of all these? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Oh, you say that is my great grief and problem. The sin, the sin, the sin. Cast not away therefore your confidence. For faith, the gift of God, we shall be overcomers through faith, not through works, not through our own endeavours, not because we have been able to improve ourselves. The child of God only knows the treacherous nature of his own heart and flesh. He don't put any trust in it at all. But he may know this, the faithfulness of his Lord and Saviour, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Therefore cast not away therefore your confidence. Though there are these weights that seem often to hold you down and keep you back, yet let us run with patience. And you'll need that patience. Patience must have its perfect work. And it is after, notice that it is after you've done the will of God. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And what is the work of patience? Well, it is when it brings us in willingness to lie passive in his hands and know no will but his. The old nature will always try to hasten things along, or to escape, or to turn from that which God has appointed. But the new man of grace and faith sees that there is a purpose. No idle work of God. He brings these things upon us for a purpose. They may lay us low, but it is that he might raise us up. There's the recompense of the reward. He may bring darkness, it is that he might then shine gloriously out of our darkness and give us light. He may perhaps sink us there into the woes which man are born into in this world, but it is that we may then have an appreciation of that which is laid up for us. Do you see, therefore, that there is a great recompense of reward? Though you may perhaps have to be in these things for a little while, even that he may hide himself for a little while, it is but a small moment. But what is the recompense of the reward? Let me turn to it and read it to you. That great recompense of the reward is that loving kindness. Oh, that he will draw us with that loving kindness. For this, he says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. Yet with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I should not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. And why? Why not be wroth with us any more, not rebuke us? Why, he looks upon you in his own dear Son, who has fulfilled all righteousness. He looks upon you as one redeemed with precious blood. That is acceptable with God. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Do you see the reward here in these things? Why then, you know, you may have known the power and the abounding of sin, but now you know the power and the superabounding of grace. So it has great recompense of reward. And the Lord will ever perform his work. He will perform his work. My time is going. I must come to a conclusion. My mind goes to the case of the two sisters of Bethany when Lazarus, their brother, was sick. What patience they had needed to exercise then. They immediately sent for their Lord, for the Lord to come. And we read he tarried 2 days. By the time he had come there, Lazarus had been laid in the grave. Behold, he stinketh. But what gracious encouragement our Lord gave unto those sisters. But my point is this. You see, there was that need of patience. That need of patience to see the fulfillment of what they did believe. What did they believe? Well, Martha first was questioned or was spoken to by our Lord and Saviour. After Martha had said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha believed that he would rise again in the last day. She could not credit that he would be raised, but within a very short space of time, and brought forth from the grave, bound in the grave clothes. And who can? Human reason can never comprehend these things. But faith believes. It laughs at impossibilities and says it shall be done. And so, this, after this patient waiting for the Lord to come, though perhaps with many fears rising, the readiness to cast away the confidence, but here he was, and Jesus said, and Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, after ye have done, after ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye shall receive the promise. The promise of this resurrection. Well, you may perhaps have laboured much under many fears, but you will prove the order that the apostle speaks of to be the order that he brings these things to you. The apostle, writing to those Philippians, says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Without the life-giving, then what shall we know of the rest? But then what does he go on to say? Fellowship with him in his sufferings. You find many will speak about fellowship with him, and they put a full stop there, filling their minds with what they think fellowship is. The Holy Spirit would have us to know it is through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom, but in that tribulation it is having fellowship with him in his sufferings and to be made conformable unto his death. Well, it has great recompense of reward, this confidence. Though we may have to pass through many things, we must die to live with Christ. But you have need of patience under these afflictions, under these trials, under these troubles, under these oppositions, under these temptations, under these adversities. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, quietly, faith will work quietly in your heart to seek to do what is the good pleasure of God. And the gracious Spirit will give you the strength to so walk. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, that ye might receive the promise. Abraham, what did the Lord say to him? Walk before me and be thou perfect. Not that there was any perfection in Abraham himself, but he walked in that way as the life of God was brought to him, to walk in trust, in dependence, in watchfulness, seeking alone to his hand whatever the Lord might bring. And in that Abraham never failed. Even though he may have perhaps laughed when Sarai, who was old, should bear a son. Or that may be with our old self, but despite it all, he staggered not. He staggered not at the promise. And after you've done the will of God, you shall receive the promise.
Willing, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pond on Monday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make his mercy known. 511.
Lord, upon thy word, pardon anything amiss in us. Take us each in peace and safety to our homes. And do grant us, Lord, that grace to put our trust and confidence in thee. Lord, we have no confidence in the flesh, but may we know that confidence which is in Christ. So hear us, we pray, and receive us for thy holy name's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.